This meeting is now being recorded.
All right, well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the RPM Subteam for Sunrise Data Review call on Wednesday, the 9th of January, 2019. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge at this time, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I just want to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Greg Shatton. You may begin, Greg.
Actually, Julie Beeslin, this is Julie Hedlund. I'll just take care of going through the agenda and some administrativa before turning it over to Greg, if that's okay. For the agenda, we'll have item one is statements of interest update. Two is just an item to remind all that we have had two volunteers for co-leaders and they've been accepted. Item three is to continue with the survey analysis, and item four is any other business. May I ask if there is anyone who has any other business they would like to add today? George Kirikos, please.
George Kirikos, the transcript. On the first call for the claims subteam, we discussed moving the lockdown time to the day before so that people have more time to review the submissions or homework assignments that were done by others. And so we might want to do the same in this subteam. And generally, you know, only a handful of people did the homework assignments for this week. So we'd probably want to make sure everybody's capable technically to understand how to do it in documents and so on. Everybody has different workloads and so on, but if there's some technical impediments that might prevent people from understanding how to use a spreadsheet, we might want to do that review that Ariel did in the first call to help people become acclimatized to the tools that we have. Thanks.
Thank you very much, George. And this is Julie Hedlund from staff. Actually, staff did plan to go ahead and do sort of a reminder tutorial at the start of item three on the survey analysis, and we can also then bring up the point of the earlier lockdown of the document and how to reflect the suggestions to improve the viewing and analysis. So we will do that when we get there. Let me then go to the top of the to the top of the agenda and ask if there are any statements of interest. And I'm not seeing any hands up. So check the chat. Yes, and Greg Shatton saying, we appreciate the same run through as claims got. Yes, and we'll definitely do that. And hold on. Just covering something here. Okay, I don't have any updates to statements of interest. So agenda item two is just to note, as you saw on the list last week, that both Greg Shatton and David McCauley have agreed to co-lead this group. And I want to specifically thank them for volunteering and to let you all know that yesterday they did have a call with the working group co-chairs with some preparation. On that call, they actually went over the also discussed the procedural document that's been the full working group. We will not be discussing that procedural document here today, but we did ask and we do encourage folks to provide any comments on that document to the full working group list. So thanks again to David and Greg for volunteering. Then let me go to agenda item three. And on agenda item three, I'm going to turn things over to my colleague, Ariel Leong, who will remind us all of how we can better use the tools, any questions people might have, and noting, as George did, that the previous subteam had agreed to an earlier lockdown time of 24 hours prior to the meeting to enable more time to review comments. We would suggest to this subteam that we could do the same thing here, which would be at 1800 UTC the day prior to the meeting, unless there are any objections. But let me turn things over to Ariel. Ariel Leong, please.
Thanks very much, Julie. This is Ariel from staff. If you see the AC screen, you can see that I'm sharing the Google document on the screen right now. And so what you probably noticed is that, for example, the preamble charter question worksheet seems blank. It's because staff have locked the document and changed it into view only. So all the suggested edits and comments are not showing here, but doesn't mean they are gone. They're basically hidden. So once we change that to suggesting mode, means people can edit and suggesting red line, you can see all the comments and suggested edits come back to the document. So that's just staff wants to reassure you nothing has changed and the link is the same. It's just basically we changed that to view only, to lock the document. And the reason is we want to prevent any potential confusion created by last minute input. And because we had some that kind of experience in the data subteam, some people tend to put in edits or comments last minute or even during the call. So that's why we want to change to view only and make sure everybody's looking at the same comments that circulated a few hours, or in this case, maybe a day before the meeting. So that's the reason for that. And also staff are happy to make adjustments, and that was discussing the trademark claims subteam is we can accept all these newly added inputs and note that they are new, and then still make sure the document is view only. And then during the call, we can reference the Google Doc if it's easier and you can see the new input. That will be a workaround. The other thing we want to mention that, for example, if you look at the Sunrise Charter question 5A, some of these questions are answered or somewhat answered by the survey. And in the instruction section, you can see that we have highlighted the relevant survey data tab and row in the spreadsheet that could help answer these questions, so we have noted that in the instruction section, and that's consistent in other worksheets. But some of the worksheets, for example, for preamble charter question, when analysis group developed the survey, this charter question wasn't directly included in the development, so that's why we're not able to point you specifically to the tab or cell row in the survey analysis tool, but doesn't mean the survey response wouldn't help answer this question. So that's some difference here. And I see that Maxine has a question, which URL is on the screen. So we're just sharing the Google Docs for the Sunrise Preamble Charter question Google Docs. But during the today's meeting, since it's in view only mode for the subteam, we will reference the PDF. And the PDF has all the new comment and input, and this is just for demonstration purpose. I will stop here now, and Julie, do you have additional comments?
Thank you, Ariel. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. I do not, but I see that David McCauley has his hand up. David, please.
Thanks, Julie, and thank you, Ariel. It's David McCauley speaking as a participant now, not as co-chair. And I think, Ariel, you probably just addressed what I was going to ask, and that is And I speak as someone who struggles a little bit with Google Docs, with both suggestions and view and all this kind of stuff. And then when a lot of suggestions come in, things really get garbled for me. But what I liked was that you sent a PDF that showed, you know, comments that were inserted. For instance, you know, you see George's comment on the preamble thing. I was just going to say, are we meant? It sounds like maybe we should focus on the PDF that you send. If people prefer Google Docs, that's certainly their right. But I, for one, am saying I like the idea of getting that PDF as per, you know, the operational document for the call, and that's what I plan on using. So thanks for doing it.
Well, thanks very much, David. And let me turn to Ariel for a response. Ariel, please.
Thanks, Julian. This is Ariel. And thanks, David, for that feedback. So for certain, today's call, we will focus on using the PDF. And in the future call, when staff do the adjustment to the Google Doc, we will still send the same kind of PDF to show the red line and what are new. And we will have both reference points. So it's just going to make it easier for whoever wants to use PDF or Google Doc or both. We will have both versions available. And for today, please look at the PDF because the Google Doc is the view only.
Thank you very much, Ariel. And I have Maxime Alzoba and then Greg Schatten. Maxime, please. Maxime, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
It's Maxime Alzoba.
Thank you.
Do you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
I have a question. Before we switched to this form, we were using the Google Doc, to which I added few comments about the length of sunrise. And as I remember, I asked to include it to this current document, but I don't see it. Is it some kind of mistake or some other thing? Because I believe that when the member of the group provided some opinion a few times, it's a good idea to add it somewhere. Thanks.
Let me turn to my colleague Ariel to address your question, Maxime. Ariel, please.
Thanks very much, Julie. This is Ariel. Maxime, is that okay if you could enter the, your specific comments in the Google Doc after the meeting? We did note that you sent that request, but it seems a little broad, and then we have specifically asked, for example, what survey question or answer, like help answer the charter question, and then which sub question that address the charter question, and then have a specific comment that we requested the sub team member to provide, as well as the, you know, the tab and cell number reference. So I think that will make it least confusing if you could kindly put in that in the Google Doc after the call, and we'll make sure to address that in the next call. I hope that will be a workaround.
Ariel, the recent task was that I have already once edited to Google Docs. So I believe either it's lost or something happened to the versions of files as we experienced before. It could be a good idea to start tracking the changes. Thanks. Because adding something for the sixth time, because it's not the first time I added this edits about the misconceptions between 30 days and 60 days of the sunrise, where in effect it's over 60 days. And the question itself might be misguiding a bit. So it's a bit of disappointment. Thanks. I think we could move further.
Okay. Maxime, thanks for that. Staff will take a look at that. But let me turn to Greg Schatten. Ariel does have a response. Let me go to Ariel Liang first. Ariel, please.
Thanks. Sorry for kind of not moving forward from there, but just briefly, I think probably we're talking about two different documents. And then, Maxine, I think your comment was in this survey analysis tool, Google spreadsheet, which we did note your comments here. And if you look at the screen, it's right here in the spreadsheet. But the task is to put that in the Google Doc, and then we can't just directly paste the comment into Google Doc because there are some specific questions we're asking how they address the charter questions. So we do need your help to make sure these comments are captured correctly. And if you could do that after the call, that would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you very much, Ariel. That's quite helpful. Let me go to Greg Schatten, and then I might suggest that we need to wrap up this particular discussion so we can move on to the charter questions. Greg, please.
Thanks, Greg Schatten, for the record. couple of logistical points with regard to the PDFs. It would be helpful if the PDFs could be done in landscape rather than portrait mode, so that the print is somewhat larger for those of us with less keen eyesight. If the Google Doc is downloaded as a Word doc and then made into a PDF, the names of the people making the marginal comments will be preserved. But if you download it directly as a PDF from Google Docs, you lose the name, and then you just end up with commented one and not knowing whose comment that is. So it may be an extra step. The alternative is to have people put their names into the comment boxes. But one way or the other, if we're working from the PDF, we need to know who made the marginal comments. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg, and staff have noted that. We'll check on the possibility of whether or not we can do the PDFs in landscape, and also noting going from Google to Word in as an intermediary step, and then going into PDF from that. And Ariel is saying also that we'll note the dates in the title of PDF to keep with version tracking. George Kirikos is noting that when he prints out the PDFs, they're in landscape. Let us go ahead and we have taken note of these suggestions, and let me then suggest that we move on to agenda item 3, which is continuing with the survey analysis, starting with Sunrise Charter question 5A. And we'll bring that up. And Greg, I have your hand still up. Do you have some additional comments?
No, but I did see that George noted that he had printed from the Google Doc. That was why it was in landscape. So the PDF, you know, remains in portrait for this week, but hopefully not after this week. I guess let's turn to the meat of the conversation.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And then for all of your reference, we have this on screen. Charter question 5A, which I won't read. You can see it there yourself. The document is unsynced. Ariel, if you could remind us where we are starting here.
This is Ariel. So the new content is from page 4 and onward, and I just want to note that from page 1 to 3, you may see some red line comments, and that was a summary of the discussion of these inputs in the last week call. And we do note that Michael Karinikolas has a comment on page 4 as well for the staff summary of what's discussed for the input. So perhaps we could suggest moving from page 4, and then after that's finished, we can revisit the previous red line comments.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ariel. That's most helpful. Again, this is Julie Hedlund from staff. So we are then at the bottom of page 4, and we have new comments from Griffin Barnett that you can all see here on the screen. And let me then turn things over to our co-chair, Greg Shatton, and to the sub-team for discussion of these comments.
Thank you, Julie and Ariel, who could be named Julie. So let's see who has comments here on Griffin's work, which had been on the email list, but was just put more recently into the Google Doc. I don't know, Griffin, if maybe you want to hit some of the high points here, or if we just want to turn directly to third-party discussion of these of Griffin's comments, or I can do the walkthrough. Not sure how we want to do this, but it might as well figure out what our best process is, since we'll be doing this a number of times. Uh, in the absence of
I see
comments.
David McKenna.
Yes. David, go ahead.
Greg, thanks. And I'm going to repeat a comment I made last week based on what Griffin put in. And I'm speaking now as a participant, not as a co-chair. And the comment that I thought he made that was fairly cogent is there should be a single dedicated and reliable online resource where sunrise periods are clearly stated and where the timing cannot be changed more than a certain number of days, et cetera, appears at the bottom of page 5 and goes over a little bit, I think. In any event, I thought it was a good idea if it's technically and cost-wise feasible. And so I would thank Griffin for that comment and think that a centralized source where people can go to find out what the various sunrise periods are would be welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, David. So just
George Kirkos, you have your hand up?
Okay. George, go ahead.
Yeah, George Kirkos, the transcript. Just responding to that point, well, that's a useful suggestion. It's not something where, if you look at the that column, it says literally, how did the survey results assist? Like, we're trying to look at what data supports various answers to the questions. So, well, that's of help in terms of coming to the recommendations. What we should be really focusing on is pulling from the survey results, you know, the appropriate cells that answer various questions. So when Griffin's statement about, you know, a solution that might help is not really appropriate at this time, but, you know, it's something that we could note and talk about when we get to the recommendation stage. Thanks.
This is Greg. I'll just chime in before we go to the hands, and I actually agree with George on this. I think there are a lot of good comments here, or at least comments that are worth dealing with, but I think we do need to avoid scope creep in each of our tasks. And the task here is thankfully relatively narrowly defined, which should help us get through it more quickly. So I think we need to reserve a number of Griffin's comments for kind of later in the process. So we should put a pin in these. That doesn't mean we shouldn't discuss them now since we have them in front of us. But I think on a going forward basis, I think we should, you know, try to answer the question that's at the top of the document. You know, how do they assist? And then we can kind of work on next steps and conclusions and recommendations kind of from there. Thanks. And I am on a tablet, so I don't know who is first, Griffin or Maxime.
I have Maxime and then Griffin.
Maxime Alzoba, for the record. Actually, there was error source for information about all new GTLDs. Yeah, about the time of start, sunrises of limited periods with the rules for periods, with the timing for claims periods, etc. It's all in ICANN's database, I believe, and I posted URL to the chat. And about different types of sunrises, actually, end date sunrise is auction. And there could be some financial concerns. For example, company doesn't want to have auctions. So first come, first served model. So it's not only timing. It's the model of choosing who is the winner, I'd say. One option is to be the first. Another option is to be the highest bidder. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxime. Next, we have Griffin.
Yeah, hi, thanks. This is Griffin for the record. I just wanted to, I agree with the point that others made about focusing first on, you know, what our conclusions about what the data says and then reserving discussion of potential, you know, solutions or recommendations that come from that. I just wanted to clarify that, you know, my comments there. There's a collection of both. I didn't make probably as good of an effort as I maybe could have to separate out in my input here, sort of what were my conclusions or you know analysis of the data itself versus you know what are some of the potential solutions that correlate to that analysis or conclusion. So I just wanted to mention that they're both kind of in there. If you'd like me to try and do the exercise of, you know, finding some way to separate those out, or perhaps that's something staff might be able to do. I know last time I think we talked about potentially, you know, highlighting recommendations or suggested fixes in like another color or something along those lines to differentiate them from the other comments. That might be something that would be helpful to do, not just in my comments, but if other input in Google Doc is of a similar nature, that I want to do that as well, if it hasn't already been done. And then on Maxim's point that he just made, I think I also at the end of last week's call mentioned the existing microsite through the ICANN website where you can find, you know, all the information about sunrise periods and so forth. So that resource does exist today, but I think the data suggests, and this is elaborated on in my comments, the data suggests that, you know, there were still some folks who either may not have been aware of that resource, or even if they were, there were some problems with making sure that all of the information there was kept appropriately up to date. And at least in my own personal experience, and I don't know that this necessarily borne out in the survey results, but it's corroborated to some extent, I think, you know, sometimes folks would change the information for like sunrise start and end dates, for example, you know, sort of like right at the last minute, or people would be expecting a sunrise to start and then it would suddenly push back, you know, to another time. It's more of those consistency type issues that I wanted to highlight about that type of resource. But anyways, that's perhaps a discussion for when we reach the solutions and conclusions time. Thanks.
Greg, we don't see any other hands up at this point.
Okay, thank you, Julie, and also Griffin and Maxim. And I think that, you know, when we do get to discussing solution, you know, publicity and kind of more consumer-facing resources as opposed to the microsite might be something to suggest at that time. But at this time, the question is whether anybody has any other comments on Griffin's comments, which bring us, you know, through the remainder of the table. So not seeing them, I think it's probably time to loop back to the comments on page, or the comments on the comments, and there's one on page one. That's now up. Just noting that there's a, if you don't know the difference between sunrise period types, here is a short answer. I think Maxim also kind of summarized it nicely. You know, one type, you want to be first, and the other type, you want to be the high bidder. If there is more than one, you know, claimant or applicant at the end of the period. So I don't know if we have any that seems non-controversial. Anybody who needs to look at the ICANN Wiki can do so.
And Greg, Maxim has his hand up.
Great. Maxim, go ahead, please.
Maxim, although for the record, Greg, just a short clarification. It's not the registrant chooses the method. It's the registry chooses the method all potential registrants are going to use, the particular TLD. So if the registry chooses that his superdrink.superdrink is going to be the auction type, it's end date, and the period is 60 days. If this superdrink TLD is going to be the first come, first served, it's 30 days notification, and in 30 days, there is a 30 days period for who is the first, actually. Just clarification, thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. Does anybody else have any questions about sunrise types as we analyze this?
And
I'm not seeing any.
Right.
So I think we can move on to page 4. And wait for that to come up in the Adobe.
The document's unsynced, Greg, so...
It's unsynced? Okay. Okay, again, the I'm going to bring my laptop to the office on Wednesday or run this another way, but because the tablet doesn't leave something to be desired in terms of this. But, so let's all turn to page 4 then. The first comment, which I think was actually from me, disagree with the statement of serious statistical problems and likely skewing of results. We shouldn't go too far afield, but note what we can't determine from the data. I'm not sure that last sentence actually captures exactly what I said, but I think it was just, you know, point that, you know, while I think we all understand what the type of survey we ended up with, and depending upon, you know, what you think it was supposed to accomplish, if we were supposed to be able to predict with, you know, great accuracy what the results would be if you expanded this to a the entire population, then, you know, our confidence level, I think, you know, is fairly is not what you would want in that sort of, you know, trying to predict the next president sort of exercise. But that there is still, you know, much to be gleaned. And I think we also decided kind of at the end of the last call that we would discuss the data and, you know, leave aside, you know, further discussion of the kind of the validity of the data, at least until we're getting to comparing some data to other data. So I don't want to beat this horse any further, but if anybody else wants to, feel free. George, I see your hand is up.
George, sure. I don't want to speak for Michael because it was his comment, but I would agree with his comment that if it was his comment, namely that where it says comments from subteam, it's comments from, you know, one person or two people. It's not comments from the entire subteam. That's because I stand by the statistical arguments that were made in depth. Thanks.
Thank you, George. And, you know, if we want to, we may rejoin that at some point if it, you know, seems necessary for the larger subteam. But yes, those comments were mine. And I don't know if, you know, maybe if somebody agreed with me, but, you know, that's not the, that's neither here nor there. And I understand, George, I would need to go further to persuade you. And then we do have the comment in the margin, which is, there's no name attached to it, but I believe that is Michael Karanikolas. I'm not sure if this fully captures the discussion from my part, and as I think I expressed in the chat, I think it's less about what we can't determine from the data, which implies it's a reliable data set that just doesn't address every issue, and more about viewing this data as a whole through the lens of its sources. Skewed may be too strong a word, but I think it's closer to the right track insofar as it's important to consider the results as reflecting the potential biases of the respondent. And so it's more on the same topic. And I think that rather than discussing this issue now, if we want to rejoin the issue of kind of interpretability, you know, weight of the data, we should, you know, plan that as a discussion as such. So people can be prepared for that and put it on the agenda and decide that's what we're going to discuss. But by and large, I think, you know, that's, this is, again, still a dead horse. We can go on. I think, is there any other comment on the Sunrise Charter question 5A? Perhaps some comments people didn't enter into the Google Doc, but I wish to bring up at this time. George Kirikos, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, George Kirikos, with transcript. Yeah, I think we talked about this on the mailing list somewhere, but there were issues about what other data sources we were using. So this kind of goes back to the last point about how much weight to assign to the survey results. there was questions about whether staff should be going into the various data sources that were previously brought to staff's attention before the new year. So I think they were awaiting further working group further sub-team discussion on that point. So we should probably give some time to that at some point, not necessarily on this call, but in some future call as to what other data sources we should be going for and how to get those. Thanks.
Thanks, George. And I'll note on the document entitled Summary Table Review of Agreed Sunrise Charter Questions and Data Collected, I don't know if staff has that available to put up, but it was one of the documents that was circulated. It's kind of the master document for this, I think, which is where Maxime's comments may have ended up. But in any case, there is from the last couple of pages are a list of the prior data sources, the February 2017 analysis group, a 2016 registry operators, Deloitte responses to from the TMCH subteam, et cetera. So we should all look at that, and we'll need to figure out kind of what the best way is, because that is actually the next major step in our work plan. Once we finish going through the latest analysis group survey and seeing what applies to what, then we will turn to the universe of other data and do the same thing. So if you thought it was difficult trying to draw things out of one survey, wait until we try to draw it out of seven or eight or even an infinite number of other data sources. But that's why this is fun. Julie, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. And I just I was remiss in noting an item for the agenda that I just want to make sure we allow some time for, maybe about 5 minutes. And that is the timing and the length of the calls, and also the suggestion to perhaps continue the discussion of the charter questions and survey results into the January 30th call, just because noting we have 12 questions to cover, and in our current timeline, we have only two meetings to do so. So just making that suggestion for the last, say, 5 minutes of the call.
Thank you, Julie. We'll cover that in AOB, and we're at 1:43, so the last 5 minutes of the call would be at 1:55. So I think if we are done with Sunrise Charter question 5A, we would move to the preamble document, which was our other homework document for the day. And so here, again, we have comments from George Kirkos and Christine Durain. And I guess the question is whether folks have comments on these comments. Since we're starting preamble charter questions for the first time in this process, just quickly, we're looking at the is the Sunrise period serving its intended purpose? Is it having unintended effect? Is the TMCH provider requiring appropriate forms of use? Have abuses been documented, either abuses by registrants, by trademark owners, by registries or registrars? So those are the preamble questions. George notes that there is, considerable overlap between that and, or at least, there's overlap between Q5 A1 and preamble A and B. So I think it's obviously George would put the same comments in full, but thankfully, just cross-referenced. That's George's view that for C through F, the forms of use and the abuses didn't find anything of use in the survey. And Christine notes we get a few anecdotes about how registries had to contort business plans to comply with Sunrise. And noting that's the registry registrar tab F52. Any further comments on that, or we don't have Christine, so she can't amplify her comments. Oh, no, we do, and her hand is up. Perfect. Christine, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is Christine. Apologize for joining late. I had a weird meeting that kind of crossed over both of these calls today. I actually had a note in, and I'll stop doing this. I had basically written in a comment on top of George's that said I essentially agreed with what he had to say. I think that a lot of information copied over. So having been on all of the teams that drafted the survey questions, there was really no good way to get sort of anecdotal tell us about abuses data in there. You know, we tried to have as many open-ended questions as possible, but we were discouraged from that because it just kept making the survey longer and longer and more cumbersome, and we wanted people to actually answer it. So I think, and I mentioned this a couple other places, but I wanted to highlight two things here. One is, if you look down the left side of your panel and see the sort of industry experts we have on each of these calls, we have all of the sort of constituencies pretty well represented. Registries, generally we have registrars on. I'm not seeing so many today. We have the brand side. We have the you know, non-commercial, the users side. We have, you know, just a really big variety of lived experiences, and we can bring that to bear. I mean, well, the purpose of the survey really was to try to document some of that stuff, but reach out beyond ourselves to the extent we could. But that doesn't mean that our own lived experiences can't be shared, because we're the people participating, and we're the people who have a lot of those experiences to share. So that segues into my next point, and I'm not trying to put Maxime on the spot, but it may be at some point we wanted to talk a little bit more about this. But some registry operators, and I can tell you that Amazon was kind of one of them, were in a position where, yes, the sunrise was there, it was fine, no, you know, not so much of an objection to doing that, but the way that the original guidebook implemented their sunrise was kind of very cut and dry. You do it this way, you do it in this order, end of story. And so some TLDs, and I think maybe some of the geos, and certainly some of the things that Amazon's been trying to do, you know, had a little different way of going about things. And so it wasn't that the sunrise wouldn't have been an option, but when you're trying to cater to a specific geographic region, or you're trying to cater to a specific type of audience, and really trying to target those people, having a broad, general, open sunrise for people just as a pure preventative measure, you know, maybe wasn't, you know, the best way to launch your TLD, or it maybe prevented some people from getting, you know, really important city internal names that they needed to get for some reason. So I think it would be really useful to hear some of these stories at some point, maybe not today, about how it is that registries did sort of have to get creative about how to work with their startup periods in order to accommodate. Again, not that registries are saying, oh my gosh, sunrise is so awful and burdensome, because as George pointed out, the data doesn't really bear that out. But I think that there is stuff to be learned about unintentional effects, even if it wasn't all bad. And so that's one of the things that I think I want to highlight, because I think it brings more to the story than just the couple of sentences we got in the survey. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. I have some response to that, but Maxime has his hand up, so we'll go to Maxime.
Maxime Ozoba, for the record. Actually, we had, during one of our face-to-face meetings, the special guest, Abril Amadeo, was invited. When we discussed ALP and et cetera, and I believe the transcripts are here, so basically there was a quite elaborated speech about what happened and why Sunrise wasn't the perfect thing for geos. But if we need it, I will add it again. Thanks.
Thanks, Maxim. George Kirikos, you're up next. Please go ahead.
Yeah, George Kirikos with the transcript. If you look at questions D, E, and F, where it says, for example, have abuses of the sunrise period been documented by registrants or by trademark owners or by registries and registrars, I'm just a little bit confused by the phrasing. Are we looking for generally all kinds of abuses, with the source of data being trademark owners, the source of data being registrants, the source of data being registries and registrars? Or are we looking for abuses committed by trademark owners, abuses committed by registrants, abuses committed by registries and registrars with general sources. Like, you kind of look at the questions in two different ways. So I was just curious what the intended phrasing of those questions is, if anybody else might be confused. Thanks.
Thanks, George. I was thinking of the same thing. I'm looking at those. I think they're syntactically challenged. I'm expecting, though I have no, I'm speculating, I should say, that the latter was expected, that we were looking for A, abuses by trademark owners, B, abuses by registrants, and C, abuses by registries and registrars, and not, you know, looking for the source of documentation. But the way the words are arranged, the order in which they are arranged, makes that ambiguous at best and, you know, leans toward the first, which, you know, both you and I think is probably the incorrect, or at least is a rather odd way of looking at this particular question. So I don't know if anybody has any comments who may have worked on the preamble and could be more definitive than that, but I think we should look at those questions the second way, that we're looking for abuses by three different categories, and the documentation. And the question now is, we just want to have some documentation of those, although, frankly, we'll probably end up with anecdotes rather than, you know, true documentation. Christine, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Christine, as a member of the sub-team. I can confirm that the second meeting was the intended meeting, although, to Griffin's point, I think either way, what we were trying to do is the reason we called it out separately is we wanted to make sure that we covered originally the question was, have abuses been documented? And she had to be thinking, you know, everybody came at it sort of from their, you know, five people approach the elephant sort of story. And so we thought, well, really, like, I might be thinking that would be abuses by registrants or abuses by registrars or something, because I'm a registry. I wouldn't consider, could a registry have abused it? And so we wanted to really itemize out, like, let's make sure that we seek out anecdotes or stories from different parts of the community. So, yes, we were looking for abuses by these people, but to Griffin's point, obviously those reports would also be from many of these same people. So I think you get there either way, but the point was to seek out some anecdotes and learn about sort of some of these specific unintended effects, such as how did have people figured out how to game the system. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. I guess maybe the way I would have phrased it, what might be more, have abuses of the sunrise period by trademark owners been documented? And also, you know, if so, please provide, because a yes or no answer probably isn't going to be very helpful unless it's no. But in any case, thank you for clarifying that. You know, I agree, you know, we want to break out the different types, but not by, in terms of, you know, buckets, the buckets shouldn't be by who documented it, but rather by who did the abuse. So that brings us, any other comments on the preamble questions? Oh, and Christine, I did want to just briefly say you're probably not on the call yet. Of course, it's nice to know who documented it. We should know where the information came from. And I think the use of the word documented points toward the idea of trying to actually have some level of documentation or formal write-up, as opposed to a friend of a friend told me about an abuse, but I don't know what it is, and I can't show you anywhere that it was studied. Thinking back to my happy times in the jurisdiction subgroup of the CCWG, that was, we were looking for anecdotal information. We wanted the anecdotes to not be merely kind of war stories, but something that, you know, could be tied down to a source for documentation. So I think we do want to know both who committed the abuse, who documented it, ideally where it was documented, what the documentation is. Let's, you know, take a look at it, whether it's in domain name wire or wherever it may be. It's, you know, you want to have a source of documentation. Anyway, I see Kathy's hand is up, and we're also approaching the last 5-minute mark. Kathy, please go ahead.
Hi, Kathy Kleiman. Hi, everybody. So I'm coming in midway through this discussion, but I've been here for a bit. It sounds, to tie Christine and Maxine's comments together, we did, you know, it sounds like we're looking for some more information, that we got a little bit of it on sunrise, unintended effects, concerns, that we got some of it in the survey results, but not a lot. But certainly, as Maxine mentioned, Amadea Avril came at the co-chair's request to, I don't remember which meeting, which face-to-face meeting, but talked about geo issues, and so geo issues and Sunrise and some of the concerns, and he was very eloquent on that and had prepared extensively. So to Maxine's comment, maybe we could ask staff to pull that out. There should be some transcript of that somewhere that could be very useful to fleshing out more details, as Christine was mentioning. And to the extent that it would be helpful to do it now rather than, you know, kind of other data later on, it might be really good to have that for next week. I don't know if that's something staff could give us, but Amadeo did prepare extensively, I do remember, on that issue, and it might be really timely to see that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. I would actually encourage us not to have it for next week, because as George and I discussed at the beginning of this call, and I think that was before Christine was on, our assignment at this particular point in the work plan is to primarily just answer the question, how do the survey results assist the answering the questions? And not, you know, what are the recommendations and what other documentation is there and what could people have done, and there was an anecdote about this. We're really just trying to mine one document, one survey, and I think if we just stick to that, we'll go a lot faster through these remaining 12 questions. And I think if, you know, we can keep some notes on the side about other things that we want to get to, but I'd rather do this serially because I find that side discussions of things that should be discussed later slow down the discussion you're supposed to be having now and often don't get raised later or leave less time for them to be discussed at the time they're actually supposed to be discussed. So I want to try, us to try to narrow our discussion to what our topic is here. I know that's not always how the multi-stakeholder process works, but I think we'll actually do better in the end if we try to exercise some scope discipline on these next couple of calls. I see hands from David and Kathy, and then we have staff wanting to discuss logistics and timeline. So please be brief. Go ahead. Whoever's first.
Kathy's first. Sorry, oh, Kathy's hand is down. David McCauley speaking, and I did want to get to AOB, but I wanted to give Julie a chance to talk about what she's teed up first.
Why don't we go to Julie and length of calls and stuff like that.
Great. Thanks very much, Julie Hedlund from staff. So one of the things that we discussed with the sub-team co-chairs, David and Greg, was that we, according to the current timeline, we have only two meetings left to complete the discussion of the survey results as they apply to the charter questions. We have 12 charter questions left to cover after today, and the sense was that that seems like that's probably not enough time. And the suggestion is to do possibly two things. One would be to lengthen the time of the calls to 90 minutes from 60 minutes. And the question would be then if we did that, whether or not this this particular time, 1800 UTC on Wednesdays, is still a time that works, or should we seek a different time, given that we have back-to-back calls. The second question is, can we then extend the discussion of the charter questions against the survey results into the January 30th call? This will have an effect on the timeline. Staff would redo the timeline accordingly, but it seems that it would be quite difficult at this rate to get through 12 charter questions in two calls. So two questions for the group, and certainly welcome any thoughts.
Greg, I'll note in the chat, George says, and I agree with this, I'm agreeing with George so much on this call. This is great. It's a new year. Ultimately, I think most of the work is in the homework, i.e. folks going through the materials between the live calls. I agree. I was going to say we need more miners to mine the analysis group survey, you know, for nuggets or for lumps of coal and come to it, because we've only had, you know, two or three people, George, the most industrious among them, go through this. And my second comment would be that if we actually stick to what I said to, which is let's just discuss the mining, we might actually get through all those questions, but I would not want that to be because nobody actually did the mining and therefore we didn't have much stuff in our worksheets to discuss. But I do think we should migrate to 90-minute calls. Maybe we'll get through it in two calls in that case. But I think, you know, clearly if, and I'm, you know, I offend as much as anyone else, I did not fill these out. So, you know, I think we need to do the work. I see Christine is opposed to longer calls unless we have people doing the homework, and it turns out we have that much to discuss. I think that's true. So we're a bit on the horns of a dilemma. Do we call a 90-minute call for next week? Or the other possibility is to have 60 minutes plus 30 minutes to use if we feel like it. But that's difficult for people to plan, and I do actually prefer calls that have a scheduled end time. David, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Greg. David McCauley for the record. I'll be brief since the time is up, but, one of the things I want to do as co-chair is encourage more aggressive and focused use of the list, and so I'll take my own advice and do that on the list. I agree with you that we ought to schedule a 90-minute call next week with the understanding that we have confirmed 60 and we'll have 30 there. We can hope to use it. It might be a good way to migrate. I think we will need to migrate to 90 minutes, and I will say the rest on list. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? I think we would have to keep the same starting time. We couldn't move earlier because we have people participating in the claims work as well. So I would say let's try to have a 90-minute call next week, or let's have a 90-minute scheduled call, but that's dependent on enough homework being done on the next several questions, and staff and co-chairs will decide, you know, which questions are being assigned for the next group. You know, hopefully it is dependent on us having the work of the group to discuss. So this is, you know, somewhat Socratic method in the sense that we're only going to be as good as the contributions of the group members, because that's really what we're discussing at this point, or at least the group members are bringing forward the parts of the data from the analysis group study that need to be brought forward. Any objection to that? I know, Christine, you're not a fan of the longer calls, and Griffin says the same. And George, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Chris Rickles here. I'm looking at the questions. I haven't reviewed them in a while, and I think some of them are going to be like the charter question, sort of the second document that we reviewed today, where there's no applicable results. So, optimistically, we might be able to get through them very quickly. It's just a matter of double-checking that there's nothing relevant in the survey. Thank you.
Thanks, George. Why don't we do this? We will try a 90-minute call next week. If we find that we run out of material before the end of the 90 minutes, clearly we'll stop. If people do focus just on the data extraction, we'll get through more calls faster, more questions faster, and we'll see where we stand. But and we can see how far we get in 60 minutes or 90 minutes, and kind of work from there. So I'd like to get through this part of the project quickly because clearly there's a great niche in the group to discuss both the other data and also kind of conclusions, recommendations. And the other topics that, cropped up a great deal so far in this was supposed to be a single-minded effort. I see Jason also agreeing with Christine on the length of the call. The alternative is to try just a 60-minute call next week. But let's try the 90-minute call, and let's see where we come out between 60 minutes and 90 minutes. I'm not a fan of the 90-minute calls, but if we need to do it, we need to do it in terms of sticking to our plan. So I think, yes, staff will certainly, look to send out the homework assignment today if possible. That's been the general drumbeat. So if there's any other business, does anybody have any AOB? I don't see any AOB. George asked if the, yes, I see Julie saying all the documents will be unlocked, so if people want to steam ahead, then they can go through as many of these worksheets as are humanly possible. I see Jason suggesting 75 minutes. Always the spirit of compromise. Again, I think we'll let the amount of material justify the length of the call, and I'll also try not to make the calls longer by yammering on, as I have just done. So with that, unless anybody and nobody has any AOB, I think we can call this call adjourned at 2:06 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you all, and goodbye.
Thanks, everyone. Today's meeting is over. You can disconnect your lines and have a good rest of your day.